So the Chaver says, you think Tzidak HaDin is powerful stuff, and Osir Gimli says, you think Tzidak HaDin, that sort of attitude, a positive attitude, an attitude to be able to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gzar Din, that's going to make not only for a good Olam Haba, but for a more pleasant life in the here and now, a better attitude. Amar HaChaver, Osir Gimel, Mashiachzik Arvusov Yik Be'enu B'yosef Lo Arvus Lo Arvus. You know what really is going to make life sweeter? What's going to make life sweeter? Shiyavarech Tamin HaKamashu Motzim Na'olam HaMashu Motzim Omimen. I can make a bracha, if I live a life with ubiquitous brachas, I live a life saturated with brachas on the things that I do and take advantage of, and brachas on the things that happen to me, like both Birkas Hanen and Birkas Hanen, that's going to make life sweet. The Melech HaKuzri says, reality check. Osi Dalad, Eichu Zeh, HaBrachas Parach Yeser. Brachas are annoying, says the Melech HaKuzri. Hey, brachas all the time, you got a bench and this and that. It doesn't sound like it makes life more enjoyable. Brachas are annoying. Cut out the brachas. Just let me eat. Just let me do my thing. Everything's so structured. Why does that make life happier? Hey, you tell me I get more Olam Haba, one thing. But the argument of the Chaver is it makes life here more enjoyable. The Mechazuda says, really? How does that work? Amar HaChaver, Os Tazvah. He says, well, let me ask you a question.
Very surprising.
Answer your question. Very Jewish. Answer a question with a question. The Chaver is Jewish. Hello, Adam Hashalom Yoser Baroishi Sukar. Bar Gosha Sa'adav Mashiach the Yishkin Etzim Gadol. Who enjoys a good steak more? Good steak is very good. No. And he says, who's going to enjoy it more? An adult or a baby? A little kid. I mean, you can't eat steak to a baby. You can feed steak to a four-year-old. You might enjoy it, but who enjoys it more, you or him? Depends who's hungry. If it's a question of who's hungrier, it may fill someone's belly more, but who's going to appreciate the flavor? Who's going to appreciate the flavor of the steak more? It does, right? Why? Exactly. A good pork, serve their proper pork glass. Obviously, someone, the father says, in Os Tezvah, the person with more developed tastes, with more developed senses. The kid, the four-year-old, he'll say it tastes good. Again, let's leave the wine out of it. But you give the steak to the four-year-old, he may say it tastes good. He doesn't have that same appreciation that you do, or that I do. More developed taste. You give a piece of steak to an animal. Oh, yeah, that's disturbing, species on species, but even leave that aside. You're going to feed fine food to an animal. He doesn't have, we assume, that the same developed taste that we have. Appreciate it. It's food. It's good. It's food. Much simpler. Says Kasher HaBehema, they take this step further. Even animals are better off than Mehatzamach, than plants. Afleishatzamach nizon tamu. You just don't think of plants as being happy or enjoying things. Although plants are hungry, as Rafi said, right? The plants are gaining nutrition all the time. They're ongoing, constant, continuously drawing water and nutrients from the ground. They're always, quote unquote, eating and on some level enjoying, getting what they need, satisfied in some very basic sense, but not in a neural sense. It's certainly not enjoying the way the animal does, which is in turn certainly not enjoying the way you and I do. Right? The more sophisticated, the more developed the taste, the more you enjoy it. So he says, don't you agree? The rabbi said to the Melech HaKuzrim. The Melech HaKuzrim, again, speaking from experience, imagined experience, Oz Tezayim. Yeah, Kein Hu LeYisro Nachush VaHergesh Ba'anam. He says, Rabbi, you're absolutely right. The more developed the senses, the more you enjoy it. And the king says to the rabbi, Rabbi, I'll give you another example. That's just a question of humans versus animals, or of a plant, or even adults versus kids, it can have among adults. In one person's life, from hour to hour, it could change. He says, imagine the following. The guy's flat out drunk. Drunk, not plastered on the floor, but drunk. So they start bringing him all the things that he loves. But who be in the shikruso? But he is deep. He's deeply drunk. And they bring him his favorite foods, they bring him his favorite drinks. Again, that may have been the cause of the problem in the first place. But he's eating all his favorite stuff, and drinking all this favorite stuff. Yishmahani Gudim, they put his favorite music. Yishavim Yishayav, all his friends are around. Utachab Gel Ahuvaso, his girlfriend comes over and gives him a hug. All the things he loves most. Yisupar Lo, calls that Kishayi Rafei Mishichrusa, when he's healed, interesting word, when he's healed from his Shechus. And after he comes to, he sleeps it off. And the next morning said, such an amazing part is everything you love is your favorite food that you haven't had in 2 years. Like that Angus beef that you've been like dying for. And you know, that Glenlivet that you love. And all your best friends are there. And your girlfriend was there. And the music that you want to hear. And how's he going to feel? Right. I missed it all. Now, he didn't miss it. It was there. But obviously, he was too drunk to even appreciate it. I mean, it happened. The food went down. The music went into his ears. Are you doing all this? He'll be so upset. Yashu HaKol Hepzib L'Reva. He's not going to feel that he gained all his great stuff. All right, okay, he lost out. I missed out. The Peshal Boli Yadoha Anosahim. Uhu Be'inyin Shiyargish V'inyamim. Bothering even more, right? Think about it, right? If it, the guy was drunk and nothing happened, it bothers him less. And if all that good stuff was there. And if only I would have been in a position to appreciate it. So where's he going with this? He says, that's sort of obvious. That's sort of very clear. Like, the child, the animal, even the adult who's drunk, your senses aren't attuned. Your senses aren't sharp. Good stuff is happy and you're not even appreciating it. He says, well, and his damnus lahano v'hagashos says, now let's begin to build this a little bit. Maybe there are ways that I can sharpen my appreciation even more. And I'll enjoy, forget about olam ha, put olam haba aside for a moment. To enjoy your olam hazeh, to enjoy physical pleasure of life, it's going to be heightened as I heighten my senses. A person grows up, more mature, sophisticated taste, you appreciate more. The fellow made a terrible decision, he got himself drunk. As the drunkenness wears off, he begins to appreciate things more. But even when you're awake and sober and adult, you can still do even more to heighten, to sharpen your appreciation of what's going on around you. How can you become more mindful? Preparing yourself for pleasure, preparing yourself to sense that pleasure. Kodim l'chein, and before you enjoy something, to consider what it would be like to not have it, and then to appreciate that much more, kofel ha'anah. That doubles the pleasure. We've all heard it said, right? Sometimes like a person loses something you took for granted, now all of a sudden you appreciate it more. So, wouldn't it be nice if you could have that added appreciation without having to lose stuff? Wouldn't it be nice if I could really appreciate the gift of sight without having to go through a period of not seeing? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great to appreciate food so much more without having to be hungry first? The zem mitoelas habrachas lemishu ragil ben bekavana lehavana. He said that's your opportunity. You're going to say you're ragil in brachas bekavana havana. He said three things. That's just the guy who says a bracha. You're ragil in them. It's specifically the saying them often that builds this awareness. If they say them often, you're focused and you're thinking about what you're saying. If you can say, if I can train myself to say brachas often, with focus, say brachas often, just focus, my brain isn't elsewhere. You know that great sketch that Hanoch Teller has, that one of his early books, by the guys in Machin Yehuda. How many people have read the Machin Yehuda? Wow, okay, pretty solid. Remember the fruits and the vegetables, like the endless rows of stuff. And these guys in Machin Yehuda is walking up and down, he's looking at the pomelos and the grapefruits, and shaking out the oranges and picking up and smelling them, delicious. And different people are hawking how much they sell. This made for a shekel, that made for a kilo for a shekel, this made shekel for a kilo. Right? And taking it all in, and then all of a sudden someone punches you in the chest. It's like weird. I didn't see anyone. Okay? Pretty weird.
Oh, I heard
this. Right? Right? Then you just keep walking. And you move on to the watermelons, right? You move on to the like cantaloupes, a different type of cantaloupes have there, the musk melon, whatever it's called. And then all of a sudden, then it's like a punch in your chest, and who's punching me? And then you realize you're not really Machan Yehuda. You're really in Shul. Right? But your brain was so elsewhere. Your brain was like, Mamish elsewhere. The Baruch Hashem, the Yerushalmi says, lest we think this is a new problem, Yerushalmi says, has a line, we ought to have some Hakaras HaTov to our spines for remembering to bow at Modim, even when we're not consciously bowing at Modim. Right? It happens. It happens. We've all been there. He says, but if I could A, say brachas consistently. Say that. Or B, b'kavana. Kavana means that I'm just like focus, as opposed to being in Machan Yehuda when I'm not Machan Yehuda. Just being focused, I'm saying a bracha. And C, havana, not only focus saying bracha, but actually think of what I'm saying. Now, this is a tall order. Taller than it's easy to say, or easy to describe. Harder to actually do. It's certainly hard to do on a regular basis. But as you grow, train yourself to do that. Ragil, kavana, havana, to consistently, frequently say brachas mindfully and think of what I'm saying, pure shamilis, are those two types of kavana I'm trying to talk about. That's gonna have an amazing impact on the quality of my life, on the physical part of my life. It's gonna create, he says, a new type of hana within me. Hashemach Allah Mishach Hanana. And we can begin to praise the one who gave this to me. I begin to appreciate the fact that this isn't for granted, shouldn't take for granted. Like, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me a gift of whatever I'm making bracha. He goes on to say, one example, Shechiyanu. This is a little intense. His treatment of Shechiyanu, fastening your seatbelts, is a little bit intense. He says, you make a Shechiyanu. Right? Make a Shechiyanu on Mikra Megillah. You make a Shechiyanu, summer rolls around, and it's the watermelon season again. You pick up a watermelon, you say a Shechiyanu. Right? So what are you saying? If you actually stop to think what it means, I'm thanking God that He kept me alive. Shechiyanu, the kima de yom ha'adah. God kept me alive this long. It's been a year since last summer. It's been a year since last watermelon season. Baruch Hashem made it. The idea that perhaps we appreciate less as teens than in a later decade of our lives. To realize, I shouldn't take life for granted. Nothing morbid, incredibly happy, but to appreciate the fact that I'm here. Toda HaShafiyeh. I could have not been here. I'm grateful to Kodesh Baruch Hu that kept me alive. The Tira Zereva. I see that as a gain. It's not just a given. Yeah, I have a house. Yeah, I have food. Yeah, I have stuff. Yeah, I have clothing. Yeah, I can see. Not just a given. Those are gifts. Yakel Beinecha Achal Damav is Keshe Yavon. I think when stuff does come, even, he says, the worst, sickness and death, again, as I said, buckle your seatbelts. This is an intense presentation of a bracha that we often don't take for granted, Shechiyanu. This is Kavar HaShavta of Nafshecha. You already thought things through. Re'isa Sherevachtin Barecha. I appreciate every month. I appreciate every year. I appreciate every decade. Ata Roy Lahir Devim Chal Kol Tov B'Tivachat Yafrata. I'm not taking it for granted. All the good stuff. He says, and again, Shechiyanu is certainly that's a big chunk, especially for a teenager, to be like, well, should appreciate being alive. True, but seems like a lot. But even the smaller brachas, the brachas are about smaller items, about the breakfast bowl, or about the ability to wake up that you opened your eyes and you saw, just to start to appreciate. It's, it makes it, and again, and we circle back to where we started,
it makes you so much happier. The rabbi
had said in Oshir Gimel something that the king at first found very surprising. Brachas make you happier? Okay, you get all mahava for brachas. That's great. It's a mitzvah. But how do brachas make me, I'm going to enjoy life more? I mean, he said, like, it's a drag. Making brachas all the time. Just let me eat. He said, no. A bracha is a chance. Just like you grow up, your senses become more sharpened. Just like a person trains to be a wine tester. Or a person trains to be a meat tester or a cheese tester. There's real training, right? You get trained and you develop more sophisticated tastes. And you might actually taste those high notes of peach and burnt sienna that they talk about in the back of the bottle. Right? And you'll be able to tell that it wasn't just 18 months of aging in oak barrel. It was actually 20 months in French oak and not in California oak. Right? How many people can actually taste? I'm not sure. But definitely they taste more than you and I because they've developed it more. And you enjoy it more. Right? If you really develop that taste, you're really gonna enjoy that glass of wine. Because it's a whole different experience. Because I'm awake, I'm alive, I'm focused, I'm taking it all in. He says, a bracha helps me to enjoy the physical part of my life more. Because it's all revach. I begin to appreciate it's all gifts. I stop taking stuff for granted. Again, if I start saying brachas consistently, and I start saying brachas with my brain and drive, I leave Machni Yehuda behind, and I start actually recognizing the fact that I'm saying a bracha. Like, again, it's good to say brachas. It's even better to actually not say brachas on autopilot. And actually think, I'm thanking Hashem for something. And number three, to think of what it is I'm saying. I'm thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu for fruit. Thank Kadosh Baruch Hu for sight. Thank Kadosh Baruch Hu for being alive. Grateful and alive. And so, and that's over time, sounds counterintuitive. I'm going to enjoy life more if I'm a man of brachas. Aside from the emunah, which the Rambam talks about, beginning of Hilchos Brachos. So it develops me into more of a mammon. I'm reviewing my emunah at all times. I'm going to be a happier, more joyous person. And I'm going to, life will taste better, figuratively and literally, when I say brachas on a regular basis. I took a bunch of questions. We'll take one or two quick questions, and we're going to, we have a big sugya. We'll go from Arev to Arev. From Arev as in sweet, that he's talking about here, to Arev as in the sugya of Arev, and Dav Zayin Ralph. Yeah.
Why do you have to actually sit?
I'm sorry?
It's more like, it's mindfulness, right? It's just knowing where you are.
Part of it is mindfulness.
Knowing what you're doing.
Part of it is mindfulness.
Right?
That's part of it. That's not the whole thing. Being mindful and recognizing that these things, noticing things, being mindful of them, and then recognizing they're gifts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He chose to give to me.
Then why do you have to consciously say something out loud? How does that...
So that's an idea. That's a good question. How does my speaking help my thought? So even from a meditative perspective, there often will be something that you say that helps you to focus. But it's more than that. It's an achrei apulos m'shachan haladavos. It's one thing to think about an idea, but it's another thing to both think about the idea and express it in some physical or verbal way. That's going to further strengthen the power of the idea. There's one hand over here. So. Yeah, so I think the way I'm reading this line, again, that was you were talking about the second, third line in Oth Yud Zayin. You're ragil behem b'kavano v'havano. It's unsuggesting there are three pieces. No one ragil, just you're saying brachas consistently. It's not just occasionally here and there. It becomes, there's a cumulative effect of doing it over and over again. And kavana havana. Right, I would suggest that kavana means being aware, being mindful of the fact that I am saying the bracha, as opposed to being machni yudi. I don't even realize you're saying, well, I don't realize I'm davening. I don't realize I'm saying brachas. My brain is elsewhere. So kavana means focus. I recognize that I'm saying the bracha right now. I'm saying something to Hashem before I eat. And then havana means understanding what the words mean. As I could recognize, I could say, Shachyanu, know that I'm, you know, saying something to Hashem, but not thinking about the details. What does it mean? God kept me alive. So those are, I think, the Reb Chaim talks about those two kavanas in terms of Hilchos Tefillah, that famous piece in Perek Dal that we studied earlier in the year. So he talks about in Shmoneh Esrei, this kavanas over the Hashem, recognize that you're standing before Ribono Shel Olam, that you're in conversation with God, and then there's actually thinking about what the words mean. Right? So I can know that I'm davening to Hashem, but not know exactly, but not during Rifa'enu think about health, and during Baruch Hu think about Parnasa. Right? I'm still aware of the fact that I'm talking to Hashem, but I'm lacking Pirush HaMilos. Right. So that's, I think that's a critical